And it is time for Arts Live and Local. This is Carol, your host. And Arts Live and Local is sponsored in part by the Astor Street Opry Company's 30th season of Shanghai in Astoria, now running through September 13th, with information and tickets available by calling 503-325-6104 or online at AstorStreetOperyCompany.com. And do be sure to look for Miss Vivian and Miss Virginia Buttons all over town. That's in the pubs and drinking establishments, as well as in the coffee shops. And it's a lot of fun. So many of us are volunteer organizations, and a nonprofit goes without saying, and we all need to raise money all the time. And the beauty of it around here is that we have a lot of fun doing it. Work hard, but everybody has a lot of fun, and you get to participate in the cultural happenings, know that you've made a difference, and also have a good time. Well, today is August 8th. On Tuesday, I played a set of music commemorating August 6th and 9th, Hiroshima Day and Nagasaki Day. And this is one of the pieces from Jim Page. It's called Hiroshima, Nagasaki, Russian Roulette. I want to commemorate that, and we can do better.
They dropped the bomb in 45 to World War. No one had ever seen such a terrible sight before. The world watched with eyes wide to see where it would lead, as the politics of power passed around the sea. Was it time to remember that we never can forget they were playing Hiroshima, Nagasaki, Russian roulette? Like the saviors of our modern human race, with the radiation halos that hung above their face, with the key to the sure cure and treatment of our ills, a hot shot of cobalt and a bucket full of pills, speaking always of the enemy who lurked across the seas while moving in among us like a carrier disease. Inside the bunkers of the concrete and lead, Einstein's disciples working steadily ahead, building heavy metal power plants to fire the city lights. And all you hear is the underground humming in the night, and the walls of tight security circle all around, where they spill out all the poison and they bury it in the ground. In the harbors hidden secretly away, the warheads and the submarines await to make their play, and the military masterminds improve on their designs, while the soldiers get all doped up and stumble through the lines, and the leaks in the water get carried by the tide. They call it national security, I call it attempted homicide. Governors and statesmen on congressional pay, quick to please the hand that feeds, careful what they say. They call out experts to assure us and to wave their magic wands. This is the power of the future, and the future marches on, and they gather up their favors and political gains, while the spills fill the rivers and settle in the plains.
Hiroshima, Nagasaki, Russian Roulette by Jim Page. Don't we ever learn? That's the question. Well, we do. Mm-hmm. We learn that the way to make peace is through art and music. And today is a heavily focused music show. Today's Arts Live and Local. And I am delighted to welcome my first two guests, Diana Thompson with Jazz and Oysters, and Clint Carter with Blues and Seafood. Does that kind of sound like a balance right there? See, there you go. We got balance in the arts right there.
There you go.
So, Diana, how long ago did Jazz and Oysters start?
This is our 29th year of Jazz and Oysters. It is the 30th year for the Water Music Festival. So Jazz and Oysters came along a year after Water Music started. And it was started by a couple of folks known well here.
Yes.
Sharon and Carlos Welsh.
That's right. Sharon Montoya Welsh, who was the oyster lady, and Carlos Welsh, who was the jazz man.
Mm-hmm.
And so they put this together. Neither of them was a classical music person, so they put together what spoke to them,
right.
But to support, because they lived up on the on the peninsula. So that's quite a good span. And that is taking place, let's get this right out now, Sunday, not this Sunday, a week from Sunday, on the 17th of August, from noon to 5 o'clock, Wilson Field in Ocean Park. And we'll get back to that later as well. I mean, we'll repeat the logistics, including who's playing. But I also want to introduce Clint Carter. Well, you need no introduction, neither of you. You're in here all the time for wearing all these different,
all the
hats.
Different hats.
Yeah, what do you got on now?
Right,
I don't know.
Yeah.
but this time it's Blues and Seafood. And do you know how long that's been going for?
Our first year for Blues and Seafood was 2007, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we did it a couple of years before that, but it wasn't a blues thing. It was more of a swing type of thing now. And then we converted to blues, and we didn't look back.
I know. And what's does that have anything to do with your personal interest in music?
Well, of course it does.
Oh, what a surprise.
Yeah.
You're I don't know whether you're the organizer or how does it work with the North Coast Blues?
Oh, North Coast Blues, that's kind of my thing. And, you know, Richard Tomasian is my buddy and my guitarist, and Dave Gager, we were just talking about Dave.
Right.
He's going to be playing with us at Blues and Seafood. So yeah, it's
That's your favorite music. So it kind of shifted over to. Besides, it has a great sound: blues and seafood, jazz and oysters.
That's
you know,
right.
It just
that's
goes
right.
together. So
there you go.
Okay, and that is happening Friday and Saturday.
Correct.
Before Jazz and Oysters, so
right.
you're the baby, but you jumped in ahead of time, so that premature.
Well,
not at all. It's a fabulous full weekend on the peninsula of excellent music. So, Diana, who are your guests on Sunday?
Well, the two groups that we're having, we open with Sherry Blues, and this is a group from up around the Seattle area. And interestingly enough, Cheryl, the lead singer, was in the Coast Guard at one point. And I asked her if she had been stationed here. And she said, no, she wanted to be, but she didn't get to come here. So now she'll get to come and visit.
That's great. Nice.
And then our lead group.
I have to say, when I saw the name Sherry Blues, I just thought that was a human being. But I checked it on the, you know, I researched it on the web and saw that was the group.
That's
so.
The group name.
Yeah.
Her name is Cheryl.
Okay.
And then our lead group is the Corey Weeds Quartet. And Corey Weeds is a performer from Vancouver, Canada.
Mm-hmm.
He had a club up there for 13 years. And the group that he's bringing, interestingly enough, two of the members are from the Portland area.
Mm.
Dan Ballmer, a jazz guitarist who is well known in the area.
Yep.
and Lewis Payne, who plays a Hammond
B3. Nice.
So it's, and their drummer is from the Bellingham area, so it is really a great representation of the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, and I checked on him too, and he's got credentials up the yin yang, this Corey Weeds. So
right.
That's quite a notable person. And again, you can do the same thing, folks. That's Weeds, as in what you might be sitting in if nobody had mowed the lawn, but they do. And it's at Wilson Field. And the other treat, am I right? The dogs are allowed?
Yes, we have. They can't run loose in the whole area, but we do have an area where the dogs can be. And if the dogs' owners would like to go and get something to eat or something to drink, there will be a doggy concierge there to take care of the dogs.
This is wonderful. You know, right now here in Astoria, we're working on getting a dog park.
Oh,
and,
sweet.
And, yeah, tomorrow's going to be an art fundraiser for that. So this is great. You guys had it figured out long before. So so if your companion is a dog, then this is going to be an excellent way to spend the day there, too. And let's see. I do have some music from one of your, is that right, Clint? This is Lisa Mann.
Yeah. She's going to be performing on Friday, 17th.
Okay. Let's have a listen to Lisa Mann, and then we're going to get hear the whole lineup for the Blues and Seafood and where it is and how you get your tickets and all that good stuff. Lisa Mann with the title cut from her album Move On. Clint, what can you tell us about Lisa Mann? Where do you know where she is?
Yeah, she's in Portland there.
Okay.
Well, let me just line up Friday for you real quick.
Yeah,
Billy Dee and the Hoodoos are going to open on Friday night, and they're also Portland based. And then Lisa Mann and her really good band. That's the legal name.
That's the legal name.
And Lisa is phenomenal. What a powerhouse.
Yeah.
And just and a sweetheart to boot. I mean, she's just a great person, and we're really looking forward to having her here. I was trying to get her here a few years ago, and, you know, these musicians are busy. And, you know, if you don't get them booked, it's...
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, it is. It's a
fantastic.
Really neat thing.
Yep.
And then finishing up on Friday night is going to be Albert Cummings, all the way from Massachusetts. And I've been trying to get Albert for years, and finally was able to get it worked out. So I'm really happy.
Wow. And that's just Friday?
Just Friday, correct.
What time does it start on Friday?
Doors open at 4:30. Billy D and the Hoodoos take the stage at 5.
Okay. Yeah. And then it goes on through till what, 10?
It goes till 10. And then afterwards, we're having a little after-party get-together thing at the Chautauqua Lodge. And that's open to the public, free charge. Just come on down and jam with us if you want. Whatever.
This is fantastic. If you're local, there's no excuse for not going to this whole weekend. And if you're not local, this is a fabulous time to come and get yourself a room somewhere. Do it now. This is next weekend. Obviously, it's not starting today. So,
right.
Okay, and what's your rundown on Saturday?
Okay, on Saturday, we've got a band called Blind Wolf. And they are some of the members of Boogie Bone. I don't know if anybody remembers those guys or not. But
Yeah,
and so we're eager to have them. They're going to open on Saturday. And then the Hacks, you know, those guys, that North Coast Blues guys.
Yeah. Gee, where did you find
those? Those guys, I don't know. But.
Let's see. Now, who would be in that band? They're from New York, I hear. Oh, wait.
Yeah. Sorry. Anyway, North Coast Blues, and we're going to have... really excited. I'm going to have the Cadillac Horns come and they're going to play with us. And that's my buddy Skinny Lynn Cook.
I remember that name.
Yeah, yeah, he plays the trombone and then he's bringing a trumpet and a sax as well.
Oh, nice. For those who don't know, the North Coast Blues is... one of them is sitting right here, and it isn't Diana. How's that?
There you go.
How's that for a hint? Clint, what do you play?
Drums and guitar.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then,
North Coast Blues. Then Franco Paletta and the Stingers, also from Portland. Fantastic harmonica player. Great musicianship. His guitarist is on fire. It's just a real high energy show. And then Norman Sylvester, the prodigal master returns. Wow. Norman, what can you say about Norman? I mean, he just energizes the entire stage, and it's just
besides
phenomenal.
Being an incredible gentleman,
and he's probably one of the nicest people I think I've ever met. And so
lovely.
And then last year's favorites, the Heartbreakers, which is the compilation of female blues singers, Lady A. White, Lady Cat True Blue, Mary McPage, and did I say Lady A? I did. Mm-hmm. And who am I missing? There's four of them. Lucy Hammond. God, how could I forget Lucy?
How could we forget Lucy? Of
My
course
goodness,
not.
I'll be chastised
I'll
if she
tell.
Hears this.
I'll never tell.
Yeah, don't say anything.
We'll never tell.
Anyway, and they're being backed by a really good band, Gary Mazur from Portland, a couple from Seattle. So it's going to be fun.
Okay, we better tell people, we're not going to give prices here, but we are going to tell people how they get tickets for this. Oh, by the way, where is your Jazz and Oysters?
Where is
it happening? I mean, sorry.
Oh,
where is
Blues and Seafood?
I'm sorry.
Blues and Seafood is at the Porterville Waco.
Right.
And we've got a different tent this year. It's a 50x100, so it's a lot bigger tent, about 20% bigger. Hopefully, because we did sell out last year, which is your cue. We sold out last year by 6:30 on Saturday.
Okay,
and,
folks.
Yeah, so
that's
you
why
need
we're,
to get
that's
your
why
tickets.
They're here a week in advance, and we're telling you right now, don't say you didn't hear it. Spread the word. Okay, so how do people get tickets for Blues and Seafood and Jazz and Oysters?
There are combo tickets available for both events. Bluesandseafood.com, watermusicfestival.com, correct?
Right, or Jazz and Oysters.
And is that written out?
All
and?
Written out. Okay. .com.
No ampersand.
Okay.
Correct.
Right.
Also, do you guys have a Facebook page at Jazz and Oysters?
We do, but you can't buy tickets on the Facebook page.
No, but you can get information
there. You can go find it, and there is an event that's been created on Facebook as well for
awesome.
Jazz and Oysters.
Okay. Also, on Facebook, speaking of that, Il Waco Blues and Seafood.
Fantastic. Okay. Yeah. Folks, it's a great weekend of exciting music. So check it out.
And really
in.
Good food.
Oh, yeah.
Really
full
good food.
Places.
Hello.
That's
of
right.
Of course. Of course. Jazz and Oysters. Oh, and you should see the poster picture. I started drooling when I saw it. It's gorgeous.
That looks great.
Yeah. Okay. Diana Thompson with Jazz and Oysters with the Water Music Festival. And that's going on? When is that, in October?
That's in October. Okay. We have a number of other concerts going on, and we hope to see people there as well.
Okay, and we'll keep you posted right here on Coast Community Radio as long as Diana keeps us posted, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. And Clint Carter from Blues and Seafood in El Waco, and this is all next weekend. Get your tickets now and spread the word.
We've got we'll have 200 tickets sold probably by the end of today. So you really, I can't stress enough, you need to get your tickets.
Yeah, yeah. You would hate to get there and be disappointed.
Right.
Although probably with some of this music, you can stay a block away and you'll still hear it.
Well, maybe.
It's not as much fun, I assure you. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank
Clint
you.
And
thanks
Diana.
For having us.
Thank
you. Always
okay.
a pleasure.
And I do have some music from Sweet Ghosts, and they're going to be at the Voodoo Room on Sunday evening. They did a great job on Albert's show this morning, and Luke and Katie are going to be with them. Have a listen.
Finally come home with your broken hands dirty and your deeds widely known. Will they open their arms to their lost flesh and bone when you finally, finally, finally come home? Will you offer them reason, some blameless excuse, or will you cry out apologies deep and profuse? Will you sink down in silence with the weight of your load when you finally, finally, finally come home? The story of how it all crashed, or will they leave the dead buried and force you to ask if the seat at their table is worth more than your throne when you finally, finally, finally come home? And what if it turns out that you've been forgotten, that the flies ate your name when it first went rotten, and your face bears no trace of the boy they'd once known when you finally, finally, finally come home?
Sweet Ghosts, Voodoo Room on Sunday evening, and I'm not sure the time. Oh, of course, it's not until 9 o'clock because of the movies. These guys are great, and apparently they met Luke and Katie as part of Blind Pilot when they were all on the road in Europe, and I love this. And then according to the story I heard this morning on the radio, they didn't know where Luke and Katie were, and they wanted to play Astoria. They checked in with the Voodoo person, and it turned out to be none other than Luke Yitzty. Olaf Yitzty, Luke's brother. And so they were all reunited, and they're going to be playing on Sunday night. Isn't that sweet? It is beyond sweet. Well, I don't know about sweet here, but I do have a couple of gorgeous women. And if you look, I just saw a photograph of these two and a third gorgeous woman in Hipfish. And if you check it out, wow, I must say that is fantastic. You guys look so wonderful. You look wonderful in here too, but that's like, that could be in any magazine anywhere in the world. So my guests are Camilla Swerdloff and Sophie Klein, and the third of the trio is Dinah Urell, and they are going to be in concert at Gala on Wednesday. Now, here's a switch, folks. This coming Wednesday, that's the 13th, which is wonderful because that's one of those days that we don't have 15,000 things going on. So welcome.
Thanks for having us.
You bet. Yeah. So tell us what you're doing, because I when I heard, so Camilla plays piano, Sophie is an actress or actor, but I just heard someone say she prefers actress. What do you prefer?
You don't care. Either way, yeah.
Okay. I like actor, but I go with whatever, especially with Dragolution coming up. Who knows what to say? And Dinah Urell is a diva as well as publisher of Hipfish. So I thought, well, what are these three doing? Tell us.
That is a good question.
And do they know? Okay.
Well, I think that we are all three kind of going into realms unknown, mostly unknown anyway.
Yeah. I like
this
that.
Is just kind of an opportunity for us to try something that we haven't really done in the past and maybe something that we want to keep doing. I mean, at least for me, what I'm going to be doing is something that I definitely want to keep doing.
Tell us. Camilla.
Well, most people know that I play piano, but I also songwrite, and that's mm-hmm. really a big passion of mine. And this is just going to be really wonderful because, well, it's actually funny. It was at the music festival, and Dinah and Sophie were there, and we were outside at intermission and just talking, and we thought, wow, let's do a show together. This was, I don't know, a month ago or whenever the music festival.
Yeah.
A month or so ago. Yeah.
So essentially we will be singing our songs that we all write. I also am
a songwriter. Sophie, you write songs too?
Yeah. It's unknown, mostly unknown.
Now, I did know about Camilla because I've watched as she's kind of grown in the music, playing guitar and writing songs, and then also on piano and writing songs. And then you went off and got your degree in music, wasn't it?
Yes.
At Ithaca
piano.
College, mm-hmm. yeah. And you came back and the guitar went out the window. and so did the songs, as far as I could tell. But now I'm delighted to hear you're going to be doing your songs.
Yes.
And this is going to be solo. Each one of you is solo.
Well, so most of it is going to be solo. We're going to be doing a little bit of collaboration.
They haven't figured it out yet, though. I can tell from their faces.
Well, not quite. We just want it to be a surprise. You know,
oh,
we don't want to give it all away.
Okay. Fair enough. So, Sophie, what's the story? You're going down to Ashland.
Yes.
And you're going to be studying theater?
Yes. That's
so
the idea.
Where does the music come in?
I was gifted a piano, and then I just started learning how to play it. And so I started writing songs maybe like 4 years ago. So, yeah, this is the first time I've ever actually, like, performed them as a concert night. So,
oh, good for you.
Yeah,
wow,
thank you.
That's exciting. Yeah, yeah. This could be a little scary. It's a good thing you'll be with two good friends. So
yes, exactly.
Yeah. And is there anything about your songs that unites them? Is there a thematic thing or a style? Let's do Sophie first.
That unites all three of us? Or
no, just you.
In your own songs. Well, I guess I just write about what's affecting me. Mm-hmm. And that goes, you know, anywhere. So that, I guess, would unite them, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, whatever's on my mind, or it's a good cathartic mm-hmm. activity.
And you play piano while you sing?
Yeah, yes.
Mm-hmm. Good for you. And Camilla, what about your songs?
Well, they have a common theme, I guess, most of them. I don't really know how to explain it. Well, I guess I've just been writing songs for a really long time, and I finally realized that it is about affecting the audience, but it's also about staying true to yourself. And it's not about writing something that you think someone else will like. And I think for a long time I did that. And now I'm writing whatever I want. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. That's kind of liberating.
Oh, yeah. And I bet we will like it. So
Hopefully.
Is Dinah doing original material
yes,
as well?
Yes, she is. Wow. I know there will be some covers mm-hmm. in the night, and I believe that Dinah is doing some things on the guitar, perhaps, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. Definitely with the piano. And
yeah, it's going to be very piano voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely focusing focused. On mm-hmm. the piano, for sure.
It's a lucky thing they have a piano at Gala.
Yeah.
Gala, by the way, is 1017 Marine Drive between 11th and 10th on Marine Drive on the south side. And it's a wonderful venue. So I've seen a number of performances there of all kinds. And it's a good place to see. And on a Wednesday evening, wow, it's 8 p.m. on the 13th, this coming Wednesday. And I'm really looking forward to catching this each of you, and then seeing how you come together, because I don't even know what Sophie's singing voice sounds like. I know Dinah's, and I know Camilla's from the past anyway. So this is quite exciting. And then you're going your separate ways. Off you go to Ashland and Austin. Aha, mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And Dinah stays in Astoria, so we're not letting her AAA, you know. It's wonderful. What else would you like to tell us about this? What does singing do for you? As opposed to, for example, you play piano, you do theater. Those are also expressive art forms. So mm-hmm. What does singing do for you, or writing songs do for you?
Well, did you want to go? Okay, I'll start. It's for me, it's a way to tell a story in a way that's not annoying, you know? I mean, if you have something on your mind, like if it's loss or love or whatever, and I think it's almost therapeutic for me to write songs, and I know it's like that for a lot of songwriters. But I love language and using words. I think it adds another dimension to songs. Nice. As opposed to just having instrumental.
Mm-hmm. Or straight poetry.
Yeah.
Or prose. Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like it's a great way to subtly express things that with the stage it tends sometimes can not be so subtle. Mm-hmm. So it's a great like way to express that kind of those feelings that are maybe not theatrical, mm-hmm. but they're still, you know, there. So
well, and when you do theater, it's mostly someone else's work.
Exactly,
yeah.
and that's
you're
a
learning
big,
a part.
Yeah,
and you do very well too.
Well, thank you.
I wish you both lots of luck in your next chapter of your lives, because it's pretty exciting. And I know you'll be back. I know you'll both be back. So, besides, it gets too hot down there in the summer, so for sure.
Good point.
Thank you so much, and congratulations on this concert. Again, this is Sophie Klein, Camilla Swerdloff, and Dinah Urell, Diva Dinah, going to be at Gala, 1017 Marine Drive, this Wednesday, the 13th of August at 8 p.m., Three Voices. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay. And speaking of people new to me in what they do, this is someone whom I've seen perform, but she was performing, I believe it was with Willapa Hills, the wonderful band, music group from Skamakaway area. This is Carrie McNally. And she's come out with her first CD, I believe it's her first, and it's 2014, brand new. All the songs are written by Carrie. And I chose a piece called The Ballad of Young Lee. And the print's a little small. Let me just make sure I've got that. And it's the perfect song for my next guest coming up. Thanks for being here. This is Arts Live and Local on KMUN, KTCB. Carol, your host.
He came to- culture of fear. They dine on the salmon and sticky white rice, and then they might gamble and smoke from their pipes. Some thought of their parents, some thought of their wives, but none.
A beautiful piece of music, and it's got a lot more to it, but we'll have to listen to it on one of the folk shows. Carrie McNally with her brand new album, My Songs, and this is the Ballad of Young Lee. And I especially wanted to play it because my next guest is Peter Marsh, and we all know this weekend is Regatta Weekend. It's happening all over the place right now as we speak, and it will be happening tonight and tomorrow and onward. I think, and I'm going to let Peter tell you, but I think this is, you know, related because a lot of people are here. This is the 10th annual Bumblebee CRPA Cannery Workers Reunion. And reunion, you know, first I thought it was, you know, how the computer does funny things. It's R-E dash capital U-N-I-O-N. But then I realized, very clever, because it's this is about unions too. So it's the reunion. And it's happening tomorrow from 3 to 6 at Pier 39. Most of the regatta stuff is further west. Pier 39, the Hanthorne Cannery Foundation invites folks to visit the Cannery Workers Museum. And it sounds like if you get there, you can have some delicious yummies as well and gifts and an exhibit. Now, how does this work for the arts? Well, Peter did something, and I asked him to... Oh, yeah, you didn't bring it with you, did you? No. He was going to bring it to show you, but we decided that the airwaves possibly couldn't handle such a large file.
Right.
So welcome, Peter Marsh.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So first of all, tell us what CRPA stands for.
CRPA, that's Columbia River Packers Association, and that's the precursor of Bumblebee. And in fact, that was a kind of... conglomerate in the old-fashioned Victorian style, not the modern style, whereby the packing companies agreed to work together or to unite. I don't think it was a hostile takeover or anything like that. It was, but it happened before the end of the 1800s, 1893, I think. Mm. And so CRPA is the name that you still see around town, and it's on buildings and. And it actually turned it over the years. The companies evolved, and they did finally unite into one force. Because you had to. You had to be a big name in the end. Because when you start shipping your product all over America, you need to know what you're doing. So then they became Bumblebee in 1961. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they left in
1981.
Yeah.
They went down the coast. They're still on the west coast.
Yeah. But I remember friends working at the in the freezer and other places. So the Hanthorne Cannery Foundation and the Cannery Workers Museum. Mm-hmm. What's your role in the Cannery Workers Museum?
I'm the person who put it together pretty much there. Mm-hmm. And hey, Bumblebee did go down to California and I saw in a museum in California that it could be done. I didn't know it could be done before that. I thought you had to be like a big professional museum. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And instead, I realized that you could do living history in the place, and you didn't have to change it. You didn't have really even have to smarten it up. You just had to make it safe and accessible.
Actually, it's more interesting.
Yeah, it's more interesting
not smartened up. Yeah.
And so I've just followed that inspiration. So thanks to the Long Beach Maritime Museum for inspiring me there in San Pedro. And I've been given the chance to express myself and just see where it led, I would say. And it led me to phone calls and directions and donors from up and down the river, large rusty machines sometimes, which wouldn't really fit into a nice, clean indoor museum. But if you have indoor-outdoor, which we have, then I proudly say I can do my curating with a forklift truck. I just drive in, I put it on the ground, there it's going to stay. And those machines are heavy, I put a sign on it.
Is that museum sort of like an open-air museum in a way? I've been in there when it looked like nobody was there guarding it. But
no, nobody's guarding it. Yeah. We trust the public. It's true. And that's another way of saying that we don't have vast numbers of people volunteering to sit all day and to swap stories. So we just said, okay, if this is living history, then let's let it be historical. You couldn't do that in an operating cannery, but now it's closed. You'd walk in, and we ask for donations. And I think it's 6 weeks ago, we opened a little gift shop adjoining the museum, and that also is on the honor system. You can walk through, and hopefully you can pay the recommended price for the last year's T-shirts and some bumblebee food. And if you can't, well, okay, I don't need to know about that.
Yeah.
And the bills are getting paid. It's remarkable there.
So what are people, what's going to happen this
week? What's going to happen there?
Tomorrow. From 3 to 6.
Okay, so initially, we are aimed at the veterans of the cannery business, although not everybody is over retirement age. There are people, younger people than that in the canneries. I mean, there are people in this town in their 30s who are bona fide cannery workers there. In fact, I stopped in Warrington today and I saw a young lady and a middle-aged lady were doing cannery work there on a small production line, so it's still happening.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got people, so let's say we've got people from their 30s all the way to their 80s. Who remember the canneries and who work there and devoted a good part of their lives to that, and to our listeners, and this is relates to me as well. Most of us didn't live here in the 70s when the canneries were going full throttle, you know, and so what we miss that for good or bad, and the fact is that this is one chance that the outside people have to kind of shake hands with somebody who stood up for 12 hours slicing fish, you know, there, and acknowledge the fact that they put this town together and they kept it afloat for a century, I would say, like that. Now, so they'll be there. Well, I hope they'll be there.
So that's the cannery workers' reunion.
Yes.
And you also, and you're having anniversary cake, and see something about bumblebee tuna samples.
Yeah, we have samples. The Bumblebee Corporation is very nice, and although people may have regretted their leaving. That's a long time ago. So I actually gets to speak to the executive director of the Bumblebee Corporation, which is doing billions of dollars, and it's the biggest American-owned seafood corporation.
Mm.
And they support us with modest but very appreciated donations of goods. So Bumblebee goods. And they do the T-shirts. They have to approve the T-shirt because it's their name on it, still their company name.
I like one you're wearing.
Oh, that's from a few years ago.
Yeah, that's nice.
Now nobody has seen the new T-shirt. And so that's where the art comes in, and that the new T-shirt, it was the 10th anniversary, and time was getting short, and I decided, because there were so many labels to choose from, it's like, let's not do a label, because a label is, you know. And so what I've chosen is a piece of bumblebee art, and nobody in the present corporation has ever seen it. It's a sort of gift box. And so it'll go on display tomorrow, and you can see it. You can buy it for the rest of the year, but the excitement will be tomorrow. And they're all a kind of dark gunmetal sort of gray color that's looks different. It looks different from anything else we've done. And yet, people understand, it's bumblebee, it's fish, so you have to see it to believe it. I didn't have time to get one to show Carol here today. And the second thing we're doing is I've had this policy of taking some images and turning them into big banners where you get the flexible banners where you get the photo, historic photos printed on a banner. And everything I've done has actually been, this is to show you the way I work. It's been the size of a sheet of plywood, 8 feet by 4 feet. I've chosen,
wow,
more or less, and 4 feet high and whatever the picture runs too wide. So we've hung those, and those have really spruced the place up a bit and get people in that historic mood. And this year, for the 10th, I got another inspiration, which was to do something different and even cheat a little. So I used a kind of Photoshop program, and I just cut out the clearest, tallest figure in any of those photos, where there may be 100 people in the photo. I chose the tallest person and managed to get it clean enough. And we've turned that into a life-size banner.
Mm.
It's actually 4 feet high, but stopping at their knees.
Close enough. Something,
you know, it looks about the size of the person. So I've got 6 of those. And so I really went to town. I've just found every picture and chopped and altered and moved around. And then I found a picture that was freely available of the sailing vessels in Bristol Bay. And so that's another horizontal one. So we'll introduce those to the public tomorrow.
Do you know who any of these people are?
Yes, I know who one of them is. That's Fran Stacey, who still works in Northwest Portland.
Wow,
And I did shake her hand and met her family there.
Some of the people who come tomorrow might recognize some of these folks,
that's right,
too.
I'm going to please tell me if you know that.
Okay, so let's tell folks where this is. And how it's 39th Street, obviously.
Yeah, it's 39th Street, which is way on the east of town. Yes, you can park, but you can't come under the pier. Clearly, that would be a disaster there if everybody tried to drive on the pier.
That's what I'm thinking.
So, no, you stop at the pier, and we will have a shuttle bus, which we're going to borrow from the port for anyone who is actually infirm and needs a, because some of these people are quite old.
And the rest can just walk.
And the rest, we're going to have up the side road there where the new apartments were built. We have a lot on the end of the street, which we are completely available to use.
Okay, so wait.
Park there.
So parking, what street is that on?
So that's one street back from the railroad line and the Riverwalk.
Okay, but it's 39th or 40th?
It's on 39th, down 39th.
Okay.
And follow
the
directions.
So get to 39th and you'll understand what he's talking about.
Okay.
And this is between 3 and 6 p.m. tomorrow.
Yes.
And it sounds like it's going to be a blast, and I can't wait to see these photographs either.
Okay.
Hey, Peter, thank you so much. Take advantage of it. Just stroll on down and see what it's about. And if you're not in the area this weekend, you can go to Pier 39 anytime and see what you can see. So thank you so much.
It's a pleasure.
All right.
Thank you.
Peter Marsh, who put this whole thing together. And it's Peter, quickly before you go, just tell us, what is it you, what's your publication?
You mean the papers I work for then? Oh, I work for I edit the boating paper, the Freshwater News in Portland. You can pick that up at Angler Marine when it comes out there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Okay. Yeah, he's got credentials. He's done some wild and crazy things in the boat department. I've got some music from the North Oregon Coast Symphony, and then we'll finish up with my last guest. And in the meantime, I do want to tell you, this is the last weekend for Fiddler on the Roof. I'm not even sure they have tickets, but you should check it out. It's a fabulous production, as you've been hearing. And that's at Fort Columbia with Papa. Vino Manzanita has Anna Tivell and Jeffrey Martin. Dragolution is tonight at 10 o'clock. There is a choral conductor concert at 7 p.m. tonight at Seaside Convention Center. Maybe Corey knows about that, too. Astor Street Opry is on, Coaster Theater. And Sunday at Astor Street Opry is Bonnie Bentley and the Phantom Teardrops. The Voodoo has Saul Conrad tomorrow night. And Sunday is Sweet Ghosts and Luke and Katie. And Bay City Arts Center, Jesse Olson, sounds fascinating, with a concert at 7 o'clock. His grandmother, Tilly Olson, very well known. Cape Disappointment is featuring the Ben Rice Band. And Fort George on Sunday is the Ed and the Reds. Barry Lopez Nature Essays on Monday, and Bay City Arts Center Beach Art. And I do want to let you know, tomorrow night is... here comes the fabulous music, is Astoria Art Walk. And we have been hearing about some of the places. Let me just quickly list for you some of the other galleries. Lulu Quinn is featured at Luminary Gallery, and it's Lulu Unlimited, and her stuff is going to make you feel good just to have a look. Barbie Maritime is featuring the Middle School Art Camp. Astoria Dog Park Friends is 3 to 8, and it's a silent auction next to Himani. Erickson Floral is featuring Susan Darm's Garden Spirit Sculptures. Lightbox has Robbie McCarran, and that's from 6 to 9. The others are all 5 to 8. Go figure. And Kala has Astoria Connections. Imogen is Sarah Talbert's Close Range Woodcuts. And River Sea is celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Wilderness Act with Jennifer Williams Art and Valerie Rapp Poetry, Beyond the Boundaries, and also Stephanie Brockway, Villains, Harpies, and Sailors. Tempo has Vicki Baker featured, and Rats and Company Dave McCracken. Don't miss Fort George Lovell. Just get out there. It's going to be a fantastic art walk. And don't forget the dog park. Earlier than that, Duke made me promise to mention that. And now my guests, all three of them, they're all here, although one of them is definitely not going to talk. You know, one of these days, I don't know how soon, but okay, I'm going to bring the music down and introduce. I have Corey Peterson and Angela Calvin Peterson and
Mia Peterson.
And Mia's the quiet.
She's only six weeks here.
She's the quiet one. This is her second time on the radio. No radio virgin she. Everything else perhaps, but not that. So, yeah, I love it. She's a veteran. Okay, so the North Oregon Coast Symphony is performing on the 10th, that's Sunday, at the Performing Arts Center in Astoria at 3 p.m. This is the final event of the regatta, Cornucopia Flavors. I'm not sure what that means in this case, so tell us.
All right, well, we're doing a little bit of an experiment this time. I believe the North Oregon Coast Symphony.
What do you mean this time? Every one of your concerts is an experiment.
This time is even more of an experiment.
Okay, tell us.
So we're actually going to begin the whole concert series here with chamber ensemble music to begin the first half. And we're going to start off with my wife playing in a string quintet.
Your wife would be Angela. I'm trying to teach him to use names.
I'm sorry. Yes. And Angela, along with four other individuals, will be playing Donizetti's Allegro in C major for strings.
Wow.
We also have Shelley Loring and Alexander Myers working as a combo here, performing Summer Music by Richard Bennett.
Wonderful. And that would be flute and piano.
That's correct. And then we're going to also have Mozart's string quintet number 2 in C minor, and that's going to also complete the first half of our show. And then we get back from intermission, and then the excitement continues with the North Oregon Coast Symphony. Three well-known selections we're going to perform. We're going to start off with Beethoven's Coriolan Overture, which is going to be very exciting. Let's see, the middle piece, which is in honor of the regatta festivities, is the Moldau by Smetana.
The Moldau, that would be.
And then we're going to wrap up the whole concert with Johann Brahms' Academic Festival Overture. So it's going to be exciting. Lots of different musicians.
So explain me now, how long have you been the conductor of the North Oregon Coast Symphony?
Yeah, this is the end of my first season here, first year. So it's been 1 year.
I see. And you're also the conductor of the Columbia River Symphony. Mm-hmm. And you also teach school full-time?
Yes, K through 12 at the Jewell School District. Mm-hmm.
And have you taken a break from teaching, Angela?
No, I'll be teaching again in the fall.
Mia, I want to talk to you about your parents.
I know.
They seem to be overachievers. Now, don't feel pressured.
And also, I meant to say, I want to wish my wife a happy anniversary. This is our fourth anniversary today.
Mazel tov. Oh, lovely. What a great way to spend your anniversary on the radio as a family. It's wonderful. So how does this work in terms of, you know, I seriously was chuckling, I don't know about that, but when I realized that you, within, 2 weeks, you're conducting two different symphony orchestras, is that ever kind of get a crossover in your brain, or
it's hard, you know. Actually, there's, especially the winter months with the Nutcracker, there's three orchestras going on at one time, and that's very hard. But No, all different groups are just situated in different parts of my brains, and they just function completely differently, so it doesn't bother me.
He said it functions, not dysfunction. Do you sometimes get students from either, both, who end up participating in your groups? Or?
Yes. Usually, school-wise, both of us have individuals in either one or both of the ensembles. And it's just a great opportunity for the kids as well as the adults to listen and learn from each other.
And I love that the kids know that their teacher is also a performing artist.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes they're, you know,
they don't see that part
realize.
Of it all the time.
Yeah.
And that's also a great opportunity for, I know we've pushed for the youth a lot aspect all the time, every time we're on the air. But it's important, especially even for the classical music, for the North Oregon Coast Symphony. Keeping classical music alive is their message. And I do urge families to bring their children to come and listen to these selections. And also families, this is a perfect time. We're also pushing for new musicians. Mm-hmm. Our annual meeting on, let's see, August 19th on Tuesday at the Cannon Beach Community Church at 6:30. We're looking for new board members also. So if anybody's interested in partaking with the North Oregon Coast Symphony and actually truly helping this organization continue finding a deeper vision of where we want to go with this, I encourage them.
Performing artists or non-performing artists.
Oh, so you mean for the board, you can use anybody who's interested in the mission.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Keeping them alive.
And so, you two, this Peterson family is definitely doing its part to keep music alive in all genres and all ages. Mm. And I'm sure that Mia will be part of, as soon as she can, it's going to be a while, though, 6 weeks. Huh? Yeah, she's got a ways to
go. She's already shaking a little toy in Morocco.
I love it. I love it. Well, thank you so much for doing what you do for the community. Again, Angela's out at the Astoria Middle School and Astoria High School.
And Lewis and Clark.
And Lewis.
Yes.
So, if you've got a kid in music in this community, she's it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's wonderful. And Corey is in the Jewel District. And then the North Oregon Coast Symphony. It's this Sunday at the Performing Arts Center. That's 16th and Franklin at 3 p.m. So, it's a perfect way of enlarging your heart. And this group comes from all over the coast.
Correct, all the way down the Hillam Valley, all the way down there, and even across the river.
Yeah, so it's great. Thanks so much for coming in.
Okay, thank you.
And happy anniversary.
Thank you so
okay.
much.